Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I wish to read to you Genesis 3, 22 through 24. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Adam and Eve live in the Garden of Eden. They have been given every provision. They have fellowship with God. The God who created them walks in this garden in the cool of the evening and communes with this created couple. They are told that they are not to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But in Genesis chapter 3, Satan in the form of a serpent enters into that garden and tempts Eve through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. She partakes of the fruit which has been forbidden. She gives to her husband Adam. They have sinned against God. They have violated the prohibition that God had given. They have transgressed his law. They have committed iniquity. And so we have the record that God drove the man and the woman from the Garden of Eden. They were separated from God. They suffered the punishment that God had placed upon them. They had been informed of that punishment prior to their partaking of this forbidden tree. But they did not listen to God. They listened to Satan, and as a result, they are separated from God. The problem of humanity begins at this point. Sin became a reality in the life of humanity. At Romans 5 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes, Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin began to flow into the mainstream of humanity in Genesis chapter 3, until all had been stained. Sin has become a universal problem. Sin is the curse of today's society. Sin causes all of the problems that exist in the world today. Sin has caused wars. Sin has caused the loss of human life. Sin has spilled blood. Sin has created greed and malice and anger and hate. Sin has destroyed so many lives. Sin has broken homes. Sin has scarred the lives of all of those who have transgressed the law of God. Sin has become the universal problem of humanity simply because this created couple did not obey the commandment that God had placed upon them. Our culture today is cursed by sin. We need to understand the reality of sin. We need to understand the consequences of sin. We need to know that sin will not bring a blessing into our life, nor will it cause us to be comforted and contented, but rather sin will curse us. Sin brings death. This created couple was separated from God. They were driven from the Garden of Eden. In the passage that we have read, Romans 5 and verse 12, death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. God had told Adam and Eve, In the day that ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Death is a separation from God. Death is a separation from human life. When we die physically, we are separated from life. We are separated from those whom we know, those whom we love. But sin also brings a spiritual death. Sin will separate us from the Father who has created us, from the Father who loves us, from the Father who blesses us with His grace and with His mercy. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." We must know that sin causes death. We need fellowship with God. Fellowship with God brings us comfort. Fellowship with God gives us peace. Fellowship with God gives us hope. Through God, we have mercy. We know love. We know companionship. We know fellowship. We can live our lives in harmony with a blessingness that comes from God. But sin destroys all of that, because sin destroys our relationship with God. God separates himself from sin. God has no fellowship with the soul that sins. The wages of sin is death. All that man can hope for in the committal of sin is death. He must know that he will die, that he will be separated from his heavenly Father. We are separated now as we live in sin. We will be separated in the eternity to come if we live in sin. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, the prophet declared to the rebellious people, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." This is the consequence of sin. This is what sin will cause in our life. Sin brings death. But sin also brings ruin. And Ezekiel 18 and verse 30, "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." Ezekiel calls upon God's people to accept his will, to turn from their evil way through repentance. They are to renew their relationship with God so that they will not be ruined. Sin will bring ruin. Do you not understand the countless lives that have been ruined by sin? Homes have been destroyed because of sin. Relationships have been severed because of sin. Sin will ruin your character. Sin will ruin your reputation. Sin will ruin your life. Many successful people have been brought down because of sin. The prophet declares that unless these people turn from their sin, their result is going to be ruin. Notice what he says, "I will judge you, O house of Israel." God continually judges us. God looks at our life. He examines our ways. He knows our thoughts. He sees our every action. We are constantly judged by the Lord God. Sometimes we might be concerned about the judgment of others, and yet never be concerned about the judgment of God. There are times in our life when we give no thought to God, what he knows about us. But God judges us. He judges us according to our ways, the way we live, the way we walk, the way we conduct our life, the thoughts that we have, the entertainment in which we engage, the pleasures that we seek. We are willing many times to sacrifice the value of our soul and our relationship with God so that we might have a moment of pleasure in sin. "I judge you, O house of Israel, and so repent." Repentance is a change brought about by the conviction of sin. God judges us, and when we realize and understand and accept that God is the judge of our lives, we repent. We turn, we change directions, we cease to sin, and we begin a walk with God and a relationship with God, involved in his righteousness and doing his will. Turn yourselves from all your transgressions. We must forsake every transgression. Transgression is a violation of the will of God. Transgression is doing what God tells us not to do. And he uses the word transgressions and the word iniquity. The word iniquity has reference to evil. wickedness, doing that which is in opposition to the character of God. Because we are created in the image of God, we are made like God, we have God's very soul in us, His breath in us. And so we have His character, we have His likeness. But iniquity will ruin all of that. Transgression will ruin that relationship, will mar that character, will destroy our soul. Iniquity will be our ruin. Iniquity brings loss. Sin brings loss. We lose something when we sin. There was a young man who went to his father in Luke chapter 15, and he demanded his part of the inheritance. He asked his father to go ahead and give him his part of the inheritance. The father complied with the wishes of the young man. There was no discussion. There was no compromise. This young man in Luke chapter 15, as the story is told by Jesus, came to his father, requested his part of the inheritance, and the father gave him what he requested. God will give us what we want. God allows us to go our own way. God allows us to walk according to our own law. We make choices in life. We make good choices, but we also make bad choices. Good choices bring us blessing. Bad choices bring us consequences. There will always be consequences to sin. Sin will always produce that which we really do not want. This young man asked for his inheritance, and the father gave him that inheritance. And verse 13 of Luke 15 says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." This young man took what his father had given him. He left his father. He left his home. He left the relationship of his brother. He has severed his ties with his family. When we commit sin, we sever our relationship with God. We take and we go into the far country. This young man went into a land that was strange to him, that was unknown to him, where people did not know him and did not care for him. There will be very few people in the world who will care about you. There will be very few relationships that you can have in this life where there will be a bond of love and a bond of caring. That bond exists with God. God is the one who will constantly, continually love us, care about us, and seek our best interest. This young man went into the far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Sin is a waste of life. Sin is a waste of talent, a waste of ability. Sin is a waste of the human soul. He lived in riotous living, evil living. The world today is involved in living that is evil. We follow a course that is evil. Sin brings loss. Sin brings ruin. Sin brings death. Does sin have a remedy? Can we escape from sin? Can we return to God? Ezekiel said, "Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so that iniquity shall not be your ruin, so that iniquity will not bring you loss, so that iniquity will not bring you death. God has a remedy for sin. That remedy begins with belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is an individual who was sent by the Lord God into the world. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And God sent him into the world for the purpose of providing for us a remedy, a cure for sin. Jesus Christ willingly, sacrificially, humbly came into the world. He was born of a virgin. He lived a life about an early life of obscurity. And then at about the age of 30, he emerged on the scene preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and curing ills. The curing of those ills, the miracles that Jesus performed, were for a testimony of who he was and of the message that he preached. He preached to people, he cured people, so that they might believe upon him. A record has been left for us so that we might read of the preaching of Jesus and the miracles of Jesus to believe on him. We are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to believe that he is the Son of God. We are to believe that he is the cure for human sin. We are to believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. In John 8 and verse 24, I said therefore unto you, these are the words of Jesus, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That will be a horrible tragedy, to die in sin. The greatest tragedy that will ever occur in any human life is for us to die in our sins. We do not have to die in sin. Jesus said, you shall die in your sins if ye believe not that I am he, that I am the one who has been sent from God. I am the door to God, to salvation. I am the shepherd of the sheep. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. This is what we are to believe about Jesus Christ. And we are to believe in him so that we do not die in our sins. In Acts 16, verses 30 and 31, Paul and Silas are on a journey of preaching the gospel of Christ. They have gone into the city of Philippi. They have been put in jail because of curing a young girl of an evil spirit. And they are in this prison, and at midnight an earthquake occurs, and their chains are loosened, and the doors of the prison are flung open. The prisoners can escape. They can walk out. But Paul and Silas remain in their prison cell, and the jailer brought them out and said, you can imagine how this jailer must have felt. He had experienced this earthquake. His life was in danger. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? That question needs to be asked more and more by more and more people. Every individual needs to ask the question, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be saved, so that we do not die in our sin. But we must also repent of sin. Back to the passage in Ezekiel in the Old Testament. The house of Judah is commanded by this prophet, repent and turn from all your transgressions. Repentance is a turning away from our sin. It is a change of our life that is brought about by a conviction of our heart. Because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we seek to repent of sin. We seek to change our life. We must be converted. At Luke 24 and verse 47, after Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, he's giving his disciples a charge, and he said in that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at Jerusalem, his disciples were to go forth, preach repentance and remission of sins. Repentance is connected with the remission of sins. Through repentance, we can have the remission of our sins, the removal of our sins, the curing of our sins, the taking away of our sins. God wants us to repent so that he can remove our sins. He will not remember our sins. He will forget all of our sins. In Acts 3 and verse 19, Peter is preaching to the multitude, and he says to them, repent ye therefore and be converted. Repentance brings conversion, change, an alteration of life. We begin to walk a different course. We have a new mindset, a different philosophy, a different involvement. We're spending our life doing something different. We have sought to serve the devil, and we're beginning to serve God. We have a desire to live a life of godliness, a life of righteousness, a life of goodness, where we have forsaken sin. We have turned away from sin. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. They're blotted out. They're taken away. God removes our sins. Regardless of what you and I have done in our past life, repentance will cause God to blot out our sins when we are converted to him. In Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter has preached to the multitude. He has told them that they are responsible for crucifying Christ. Christ has been buried. Christ has been raised from the dead. And these people are convicted. Gospel preaching is to convert us. We don't listen to gospel preaching so that we might be entertained. We listen to gospel preaching so that we can be converted. And they said, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent. Repent. Turn away from your transgressions, all your transgressions. You turn completely away from sin. You leave sin. You forsake sin. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Repentance helps in the removal, the remission, the forgetting of sin by the Lord God. We are to repent of sin. We must confess Christ. We must confess that he is the Son of God, that he is the remedy for human sin. We confess what we believe. We believe Jesus to be the one whom God has sent. And so we confess that he is God's Son. In Acts chapter 8, verses 35 through 37, Philip has opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture that this man is reading. And he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He wants to be baptized. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He had to believe with all of his heart that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, the one whom God had sent into the world to die for our sins, the one who is approved of God by the miracles, signs, and wonders which he performed. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We confess what we believe about Christ. We confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we are baptized into Christ. We must be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be baptized into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Read Romans chapter 6. Read it carefully. Read it thoughtfully. Read it thoroughly. Read it with prayer. Read it with understanding. We are baptized into Christ. This is where we put on Christ, Galatians 3 and verse 27. In the conversion of the eunuch, Philip has preached Jesus. The eunuch has asked, what hinders me to be baptized? Philip said, if you believe, you may. And the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Verse 37 of Acts 8. Verse 38 says, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and he baptized him. They went into the water. Philip baptized him. Baptism is a burial in water. We must go into the water where we are baptized by the authority of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Every one was to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Christ. Christ told his disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. For the remission of sins. We are baptized so that sin can be removed. We are never saved in sin. Sin must be removed before we are saved. And the only means of removing sin is baptism. We must believe on Jesus, we must repent of sin, we must confess Christ, and we must be baptized. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come into your heart, being sent by God as a seal, as a guarantee that we are saved. God seals us unto him. Through his Holy Spirit, we are preserved, we are kept, we are guarded. Now we can fall if we so choose. We can go back from whence we have come, if we so choose. But we must remain faithful unto God. Verse 41 of Acts 2 says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Philip said, repent and be baptized. They gladly received that. They did not argue with that. They did not debate that. Do not argue with the word of God. Simply obey the word of God. Simply do what God commands you to do so that you might be saved. God wants you to be saved. He has gone to great lengths in sending Jesus Christ into the world so that we can be saved. They gladly received his word, were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This great multitude heard Peter preach this great sermon. They were told to repent and be baptized. The eunuch was told to be baptized, to believe and be baptized. We are to believe Jesus. We are to repent of sin. We are to confess Jesus Christ. We are to be baptized into Christ, where we put on Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27. As many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. And then we are saved. This is the remedy for sin. Acts 2:47 says, concerning this group that were baptized into Jesus Christ, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. They were saved because they had obeyed God. They had accepted the remedy that God had given concerning sin. Do not die in sin. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him. Repent of sin. Confess him to be the Son of God. Be baptized into Jesus Christ. and live a faithful, godly, righteous life until death comes and claims you and you leave the walks of men, you will die safe in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Talks from the Bible have been brought to you by the Church of Christ.